Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's streaming now on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's your favorite American fast food restaurant chain?
Oh my God, I don't eat fast food.
Have you ever had fast food from a fast food restaurant?
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out, oh. I mean, I turn a blind eye to that. That's nice.
Yeah, it was in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And it was invited by Julia Child.
Posh Show.
Posh Show. Show. Welcome to Tosh Show. Now, you may notice that I'm not wearing my wedding ring today. It's right here. About 6 months ago, I was surfing in Florida, a little beach break, shore break. Water was probably 6 inches deep. Jammed my finger. It swelled up. Didn't want to cut the ring off. So I let it stay on there. And then just yesterday, I finally was able to get it over this swollen, gross knuckle. 6 months later. Oh, it was. But so now I have to walk around with my ring and and set it down near me so that no one tries to have sex with me. Right. I got to do it. My wife's like, you better put it near you so that it blocks all the vagina from engulfing your penis. Anyway, can you tell? Does that look bad? It hurt. Oh, stupid. It still hurts. Whatever. I'll get through it. I've been sick too. Eddie, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
You were sick for a while there, huh?
COVID over the break, yeah.
Oh, man. That's a shame. Well, at least you're not on a ventilator. All right. I got sick, and I'm still talking about it. I had a cold 3 weeks ago. I'm not whining either. I'm creating content. How did I get a cold? Oh, I'll tell you how I got a cold. My mother-in-law, who's famously never sick, happened to be living with us for a month. And that entire month, she was open-mouth coughing all over the Monopoly deal cards every night. You know the worst part for me when I get sick? I got the flu. The worst part about it is not the pain of the thing, but just being mocked by my wife because I have cold sweats and a fever of 100.1 degrees. That was my fever. Oh, I was on fire. I kept saying, I was like, call an ambulance. She goes, it's only 100. I go, 100.1? And then she's like, oh, I'm sure. She constantly does this. I'm sure it's so much worse than the flu we had 3 days ago. Oh, it's so annoying. They call it a man cold because men, we whine so much. I'm a little needy when I'm not feeling well. I get it. And women just have a higher tolerance for pain. Sure. Unless we're talking about emotional pain, then they're fragile as fuck. And please, here's what I'll find. Man colds are a thing. you know, we're all complete pussies and we deserve you to mock us. Fine. But women, how about this? You can't say everything is I've got food poisoning. I think I've got food poisoning. Every time we order Chinese food, you've got food poisoning. That's racist, first of all. Second of all, you don't have food poisoning. You have good old-fashioned diarrhea. We've all got it. We all get it. Just say it. There's some girls just can't say they have diarrhea. What's going on in there? I'm having diarrhea. Eddie, you got any videos for me this week?
Oh, yeah, I got a video.
Be careful not to burn your tongues. I'm sure her father is very proud, if by some miracle he's still around. Now, if you're just listening to this podcast, know that you can head on over to our YouTube channel and check out the links. Huh? That's what we do there. Let's get to today's guest. You will notice the set's going to look a little different. It was, we had a different table and we didn't have lights. The backdrop was a bit different. Okay, we shot all these interviews out of order, and this was one of the very first interviews before we got our shit together. Today's guest is a world-renowned chef who happened to create the greatest chocolate chip cookie. I'm in. Enjoy. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
My guest today is a very accomplished French chef who started his career in Paris, then worked in numerous Michelin-starred restaurants around the world, now hangs his apron in Los Angeles, which is why I'm talking to him today. Bonjour, Remy. I'll be your host, Daniel. Can I start you off with some bread or our signature cocktail?
Yeah, I'm good right now.
What are you? Are you a one-kisser, two-kisser, or do you go three or, well, or four?
Well, it depends where you're from.
I understand. What are you, three?
So it's a three. But, you know, I mean, in my family, the part of France I am, it can go all the way to four. But it's too much.
It's too much.
It's too much.
Four kisses, so long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially if you don't like your family member. You know, you're like, oh, come on, get away from me.
You can't keep kissing me, uncle. Do you want to hear my French accent? I don't know if this is offensive or not. This is my French accent.
Go ahead. Sure.
That's all I've got.
Okay, good.
Do you believe in ghosts?
You know, it's debatable, you know?
No, it's not.
Well, if I'm at my family house,
uh-huh,
I do believe in ghosts. Anywhere else, yeah, it's not.
No, you don't believe in ghosts is the answer.
Yeah.
All right, good. Thank goodness. Ratatouille. How many times have you seen that movie?
Oh, my God.
How many times?
I think twice.
Did you enjoy it or no?
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I'm named after a rat.
Well, yes, but such a dignified rat. And rats, are, I think, overall are considered smart creatures.
Right, but in a kitchen.
I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
All right, Remy, where are you originally from?
From France, born and raised. I mean, I've been a little all over, so it was like either in the north of Paris or in the southwest.
Do you go back to France every year?
I used to.
Are you allowed to go back?
Of course I am.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Well, I guess for a while I was not, but I'm kidding.
What got you into cooking in the first place?
You know, I started working in restaurants like in the summer, just doing things. And I felt like, you know, doing dishwashing and stuff like this while I was still in school. I was kind of a nerd, antisocial kind of person.
Okay.
And bringing me into that environment where everybody was working together and I had to depend on each other, I was kind of like, oh, I kind of like that, you know? And see what they were doing too. And the creativity part of it was like, I really got hooked on that.
How do you handle that stress just constantly?
At the beginning, it was a little traumatic. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I used to go home and not being able to sleep and wondering, am I doing the right thing? I mean, is this crazy? And then eventually it's kind of like you melt into it and you focus on really what's important and you leave a lot of the background noise and background stress not affect you.
You wear the chef hat in the kitchen?
You know, I'm 6'3", so if I put a hat, I'm going to bang that thing all over and it's going to fall in everything. And I used to like make chefs upset with me because I used to cut it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would look like a fast food guy or the ice cream guy. And they would like laugh at me. I'm like, okay, so take it off.
A 6'3", I'm 6'4".
Yeah.
What's the shortest man that you can respect? What's that height?
Well, you know, I mean, if they're below my elbow, I'd be like, okay, get away from me.
You cooked in Germany. I was born in Germany. Now, I don't think of German food.
Where were you born in Germany?
Bopard, Frankfurt, near Frankfurt.
Well, I worked near Frankfurt.
But the food in Germany.
So it was a French restaurant.
Okay, thank goodness.
So it was a small, like one Michelin star restaurant.
Uh-huh.
One thing that I really enjoyed in Germany was, you know, how methodical and organized everything is.
Oh, yeah. I think they've taken that to another level.
Oh, yeah.
Got them into trouble a handful of times.
Well, so me too. But that was a fun part, though. You know, the food was great. I mean, it was like my bases were covered. But what I learned was their organization, their way of thinking. They were like always re-questioning themselves about doing things more efficiently and better.
How long have you been in the United States?
Since 84.
You went to New York first?
Yeah.
How was your time in New York?
Great. Oh, my God. I mean,
in the 80s, New York, fancy restaurants. How much cocaine did you do?
None.
How much cocaine did you see?
A lot.
Did you?
Oh, my God. Oh. I mean, yeah, when people ask me about the story about the rest of the world or even New York in the 80s, oh, it's not a joke. It was beyond belief. Even for me, I was like, whoa.
Did you drink?
Yeah, drinking I did.
I mean, like a lot of chefs, they've got a bad reputation of a little too much.
I never got to the point where it was a problem,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, the drinking, you know, after shift, you know, binging until 4 or 5 in the morning or until the sun comes up, and the restaurants or the bar you are like lifting again the iron curtain because they closed it at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then you're like, oh crap, it's daylight.
Yeah. It's a sad feeling when you see that sun come up.
Oh my God, yes it is.
What do you think of these people that don't care about eating at all?
I don't understand that. And you know, I have a really hard way of describing. I mean, they have a sad life.
Agreed.
They go through life with body function. And it's really, I eat, I drink, I shit. Mm-hmm. And they have absolutely no pleasure doing any of those. And it's kind of sad.
Someone that says they don't have a sweet tooth, I just immediately get angered. you don't enjoy eating something that tastes delicious?
I mean, the thing, you know, sweet, fat, you know, all those salty. I mean, this is what triggers all your emotion, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if they don't like anything, it's really strange, you know?
When you were in New York, it was when you were a sous chef there. That's when you stumbled upon your chocolate chip cookie recipe. Am I right?
So the chocolate recipe is really Jacques Torres, and I improved with him and on stuff, yeah.
Who was the one that deemed it the greatest chocolate chip cookie in the world? Who gave it that title?
I think at the time it was the New York Times.
I mean, that's a bold statement.
I know. What are the things you like about chocolate chip cookies? Because that's always the biggest debate. What are the things you like about it and what are the things you don't want in your chocolate chip
cookies? Well, first of all, I mean, I'll start with it for me personally. And I care very much about chocolate chip cookies. And I don't even know that it's my favorite cookie, but I love it very much. And I've traveled everywhere. By the way, when I got married in Italy... Okay. Speaking of delicious food, Borgo Santo Pietro. Uh-huh. I'm not sure they're a sponsor of this podcast, but if Borgo Santo Pietro would like to sponsor this show, I would love it. I had a beautiful wedding there, and they also liked that I came there and I dressed in costume. Me and some of my friends, we dressed as old tennis players from the 70s with wigs and everything like that. We just like with wooden rackets.
I can see this.
I'll send you a photo. You'll love it. Anyway, my wife one time got forwarded an email that wasn't meant to come to us. That was them writing about our wedding. And they're like, the Americans want biscuits. And they were just...
biscuits?
They call cookies biscuits. Yeah. And it just made me feel like I was such a trashy little person because I wanted a cookie. Anyway, for me, what makes a perfect chocolate chip cookie... The simple thing is, I can't have a crunchy cookie.
Okay.
I'm not if a cookie is crunchy, there's no way it's the best cookie in the world. Okay. I don't want a crunchy. You make crunchy chocolate chip?
So let me ask you this. You want the core of the cookie to be soft.
Yes, but I'll be honest with you. I want everything soft. Rarely is a cookie out of the oven better than before it went into the oven. That's my two cents. Listen, but that's the thing. Anybody says it's the greatest in the world. It's like, well, there's different. There's,
I know.
Everyone has different tastes.
I agree.
And
I
an idiot, so mine shouldn't count.
I never agree on the best of this, the best of that, you know. But hey, you have to play the game too, you know.
And now, in general, do you feel that you have to be extremely patriotic to your homeland? Do you have to like say that French food is the best food?
No, I'm not.
Because it's not, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff.
There's great stuff, but it's not the...
But it's not...
No.
It's, you know, French has elevated the notion of going out and restaurants and conviviality and all this to a more, how would you say, like, you know, bold thing, you know? So we advertise it better than other countries.
Oh, when I'm in Paris, my wife gets so mad because people speak to me in French and speak to her in English. Because I know how to blend. I know how to blend and be right. I even had a person that I was staying with. He goes, oh, every day I tried to dress and he goes, oh, today you look like a true Frenchman. I'd be like, oh, I'm very excited to hear that. I love France. They like to eat too late. I don't like that.
Right.
I like to be at a restaurant right when they open. 5 o'clock.
Which is not happening in France.
No, that's insane. So to have dinner at 10, 11, that's not good for me. It's my stomach. I like food to sit for a little bit.
Right.
I spent time in France. The last time I was there, I had a French chef give my wife a class.
Uh-huh.
And all I could, the food was, she made probably the worst meal she's ever made. It was unacceptable. I got some video of that, I'm sure. The one thing that I took from him, he just constantly kept telling her to clean up while she was cooking. And I respected that. I was like, yes. He's like, yeah, you clean while you cook. Is that what you want? And I just was like, good. Listen to this.
You clean as you go.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Let me tell you about a restaurant in France, in Paris, that I ate at. And I want you to tell me I'm wrong. I had to go there. Septine. It's a hard restaurant to get into.
Right.
Not a lot of Americans sitting in there.
Cool.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, I want to experience this. I'm very open-minded. I enjoy good food.
Uh-huh.
It was too much. It was too much
too
for
much.
Me.
Too much.
I don't know what.
Explain too much.
Too much, too fancy, too, I don't know. Like, I don't need foam over some cold egg dish. I don't know what I was eating. Everything else. And my server, who he was very, he was curious at why I was there. And then he could tell sometimes when one of the courses, he's like, how was that? He's like, that's a bit woodsy, huh? I'm like, I don't describe things as woodsy. But anyway, am I wrong to not love that restaurant?
It's a big debate right now, like about those restaurants that, you know, how do you define fine dining?
Mm-hmm.
How do you define a good time in a restaurant? Is it, you know, the decor? Is it the fancy food? Is it the overly transformed food, like you said? You know, there's a lot of restaurants like this that think they go too far now.
And they won't do anything that's not from the region. So, like, I wanted a dessert. I was like, oh, is there anything that has chocolate or anything? No, because chocolate's not from France. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's a little extreme because,
right.
I mean, are you going to deny, you know, a fruit because it's, you know, it's coming from Spain or mm-hmm.
Don't
no.
get them started on Spain. It was the most expensive meal I've ever had in my life where I was like, oh, I really did not enjoy that at all. How come there's no good Mexican food in France?
Yeah, you're right, you know. I think it's changing a little.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you like Mexican food?
I do.
Oh, it's so good.
I do.
Can you handle spice?
To a certain level, definitely more than an average French person, which have absolutely no tolerance whatever for spice.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I've traveled, so I've learned how to, like, sweat it out, you know?
Do you miss living in France?
Yes and no. French respect their quality of life. You know, they'll fight for it. And that's their primary thing. Or quality of life. And when I go there, I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate that, I'm sorry, I'm not going, you know, I'm done. I want to go home. That's it, you know. I mean, my boss in New York used to say, in America, you know, you're like an orange, you know. We squeeze you to death.
Oh.
And then we throw you out. We find someone else to do it.
What a nice boss.
I know, huh?
I take vacations constantly.
Yeah.
That's literally almost all I do.
Yeah.
I just vacation. And when I'm on vacation, I'm planning my next vacation. I work in locations just so I can vacation.
You have the luxury to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in restaurants, if you request a day off, they're like, oh, who's going to cover your shift? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? And they put the guilt on you. Like, I have to say, like, the restaurant business is probably like about 150 years behind everybody.
When people talk about restaurants, like, it's so impossible for that business to survive. I'm always like, good.
Yeah.
It shouldn't survive.
Yeah, you're right.
It should. I can't imagine wanting to cook the same thing every night for 30 years. That's insanity.
You know,
you'd go crazy.
It's interesting you say that. I was in New York and one of my customers had changed the menu,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he came and he complained that he came like a few times. He really liked that dish and, you know, why I took it off the menu. I'm like, well, I just cooked it 30,000 times.
Yeah.
You came to, you know, you come one twice a month. And you enjoy it. I cook it every night, you know, hundreds of times.
Sure.
I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired, you know. So I think that's the situation in the restaurant business in general in America. I don't think the system is viable anymore. It's always you have to do it the cheapest way, the most efficient way. You don't care. At the end, who suffers is the staff, you mm-hmm. know, the staff and the mall. Honestly, I think there's way too many restaurants in this in general here.
Well, in Los Angeles?
Yeah, sure. Anywhere.
Well, see, I live out, you know, pretty far out in Malibu, and there's just a small group of restaurants. And anytime one of them closes, I get excited because I'm like, good, there'll be a new restaurant.
Exactly.
I'm tired of eating there anyway.
Yeah.
You worked at Bacara.
I did.
Santa Barbara.
That's right.
Back when Bacara was nice. Now, I know Bacara is not a sponsor, and I don't care. Because ever since the Ritz-Carlton took over, you've fallen off. I don't want to be there anyway. I'd rather stay at, Sandra Cedar Ranch or something like that. Anyway, do you like Sandra Cedar Ranch?
Oh, it's beautiful property.
It's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. It's a classic.
And you get your room there, and everything's included. Your meal at the restaurant and everything like that. So that's when you start ordering like a crazy person. I got to get my money's worth. It's so expensive. You worked at Bacara. How long did you work there?
4 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
did you come from New York to directly
that's
there?
Right. That's right.
See, that's a good switch.
The
you were you needed that. After New York, like the squeezing of the orange, then you come to Bacara and you're just
You go from 8 million people to 80,000, you know, it's like you eat the wall like full blast. You know, I mean, I used to, you know, finish work and try to get a glass of wine somewhere in town, and it's like 9:30 and everybody's like, oh, we're closed.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? It took me a while to adjust.
You ever read a nasty review about yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's the worst thing you can remember?
That was written by Gail Green, who was like really famous food writer for uh-huh. the New York Magazine. I mean, very well respected. And that was the time I was at Le Cirque, and we did a beef cheek ravioli.
This is the story of Ratatouille. Go on.
Okay, and you're going to like this. And she wrote a review, so it was not for me personally, but for the restaurant,
okay.
because I was a sous chef then. And she said that out there, then they had to serve her beef cheek ravioli. It's basically the equivalent of dog food. And like 2 years later, Mario Batali opened Babbo, and one of his signature dish was a beef cheek ravioli.
Okay.
And she wrote about it, and she raved about
it. Okay, so discredit the review.
Oh my God, I got crazy, you know? Years after that, she writes a review now for me as a chef, a Montrachet.
Uh-huh.
So it was generic, and I was doing an event in East Hampton, and she calls me because she was going to write the review, and she wanted to do a fact check. So she's like, hey, Remy, how's everything, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, wow, I don't want to talk to you. I'm still upset about something. And she's like, wow, you remember when...
Dog food.
Yeah. You remember when I was at Le Cirque and you wrote that review and you said that we served you dog food? And she's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, a beef cheek ravioli? And then like a year and a half later, you like rave about Mario doing the same thing at Babbo. I'm like, come on.
I love that you hold a grudge.
I mean, it was a nice way. You know, I was not really mean, but I wanted to make my point.
You made your point.
I made my point.
And what did she say?
She apologized.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Food allergies. What do you do when someone gives you a laundry list of things that can't be in their food?
I remember there was a lady that came to a restaurant where I worked, and the server comes in the kitchen and goes, Chef, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, what's the deal? And he gives me like a little kind of like a large business card laminated.
Uh-huh.
He had the name of a doctor on top. I mean, he looks like very official, but who cares? And I didn't call the doctor.
No.
And there's like 17 ingredients listed.
Don't go to a restaurant.
He's like, what do you want me to tell? I'm like, oh, I'm going to the hotel. So I went in the dining room and said, listen, I have to apologize, but we're not going to be able to feed you tonight. You know, and we cannot even offer you a glass of wine because you say you're allergic to alcohol. So we'll be happy to give you a glass of water.
Right.
And stay with your friend. And she was a big party with 7 people, okay. You know. And she started making a scene. You know, I go all the places. They try to accommodate me. I'm like, listen, they can do whatever they want over there. You should have gone there. And she looked at me. She's like, you're serious? I'm like, absolutely. And as I turn back, I hear our friend going, it's about time someone is calling your bullshit.
Ah.
I was like,
good. I dated this girl, just an amazing body. I mean, wow. Her last boyfriend was Hugh Hefner. Okay. Yeah. She had a huge shellfish allergy.
Oh, that's
I mean, very dangerous.
Yeah.
Has the EpiPen with her at all times.
Yeah.
Where do I take her on our first date? Oh, a nice little seafood shack restaurant.
No way.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want to see where I'm at in the relationship. What does she order? A baked potato. That's a true story.
Oh, man.
Why do you hang out with my friend John so much?
I know.
I don't understand the relationship at all.
He's a good guy, you know?
I mean, he's a good guy, but still, it doesn't make any sense. A French chef and then John, this guy Ohio.
He loves food.
Well, sure. Yes, he does.
He does. And, you know, I mean.
And that's all you care about?
No. I mean, the guy actually cooks for me. Can you imagine?
Do you enjoy eating when someone cooks for you, or is it?
No, this is the best part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think most people are frightened by cooking for me, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, for me, when they cook for me, I'm like, I'm grateful. They appreciate me. I appreciate them. I mean, and it's not the end result. It's the conviviality. It's being together and, you know, sharing a meal.
All right. What's your favorite American fast food restaurant chain?
Oh, my God. I don't eat fast food.
Of course you don't. You know what the answer to that question is? None of it. It's all horrible.
That's right.
Have you ever had fast food from a fast food restaurant?
Yes.
Which restaurant?
In-N-Out.
In-N-Out. Oh, well, I mean, if you're now that you say that out loud, it's like, I mean, I turn a blind eye to that. That's nice.
Yeah, it was in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And it was invited by Julia Child. How messed up is that?
That's amazing. That's an amazing story.
And you were from New York, you know?
Of
so
course.
When I moved to Santa Barbara, she's like, oh, Remy. So nice to see you.
Let's go to In-N-Out.
No, she's like, I'll treat you. Let's go on a date. Let's go for lunch.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like driving her. Sure. And I'm like, where are we going? And I'm like, oh, keep going.
And then she just, did you guys go inside?
Yes.
Oh, you sat in a booth? They give you little hats. You could have worn one of their little hats there.
Yeah, but the best part is like, you know, there are kids in there. And then you have no clue
of course.
Who Julia Child was. So only the older people, like the parents or whatever, they're like, oh, my God, it's Julia Child. I remember the lady, because I paid, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yeah, such a gentleman.
Yeah, I mean, come on. But the person at the cash register be like, your grandma forgot a cup for the soda.
your grandma.
I was like, but you know, I mean, she was as tall as me, you know. She was like 6'1 or 6'2.
Oh, yeah.
She was a giant woman.
That's great.
I remember like her coming in the kitchen like in New York, you know, once, and she's like, oh, Amy, I love you. I could marry you. You are one of the few cook who still cook with butter.
That's good.
She was a character.
You ever eat at a buffet in Vegas?
Yeah, I have.
With
you
Julia Child?
You have to be able to experience all those big, like I say, those big American thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot say I've been to Vegas and I only eat in 3-star Michelin star,
uh-huh.
which is nice, but I also have to experience, okay, what is the big deal with the buffet, you know?
And you, how was your experience?
Oh my God, it's almost disgusting. I mean, to see this amount.
You think that's disgusting? When I used to start working in Vegas, when I was a young comedian,
I loved it.
I didn't get to eat at the buffet. I had to eat in the buffet in the basement with all the employees.
The employee cafeteria. So,
like it'd be like the women with the headdresses on coming through, and we're all just shoveling food under our plates. And I was like, this is as sad as it can get. But I would do it because it was free.
Exactly.
Like, do you eat sandwiches?
I do.
I love a sandwich.
A good sandwich is good.
Oh, yeah. I love a sandwich.
But it has to be like the right proportion, the right texture.
Perfect bread.
Yeah, the bread is the key, you know, because if it's too hard, you cannot bite it.
Yeah. What do you think of wraps? Raps upset you?
Yeah, raps is dumb. Raps is good for like Tesla's vegan people.
enough said. You're a personal chef now?
Yes, I am.
Do you prefer that?
I mean, it was never something I really wanted to do. You know, it was the fact that the pandemic hit and whatever I was doing, like hit the bottom like everybody else. And I was lucky that this person came and said, hey, you pay your dues for a while. Come with me. I'll help you.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. I want to talk about the personal chef. I want to know what's accessible to people and what's not. How many meals are you cooking a week for them? Are you there every day, 7 days a week? Are you there 5 days a week?
3 days a week now.
3 days a week. All right. So you're open for business. You could take on another account.
Right.
Like if I wanted three meals a week, a nice dinner entree, the whole nine, nice fish. I wanted you to do the shopping, everything, dessert and everything like that. What am I? And for four people.
Let's say the cheapest would be 700.
Okay.
To, you know, it could be a lot higher.
Well, sure. All right. So about 700. I'm going to be on the cheaper end. I feel my taste are probably on the cheaper end there. And you do present it and serve it or no?
So it depends. You know, some people want it plated because they want a fancy dinner. Who they have, you know, really high profile guests like my boss, you know. Once he has high profile guests, so everything is plated. I have servers. I mean, we do the whole thing. When it's family, we do it family style.
Okay.
When it's just a family, we do
it. Is your client a celebrity?
Not per se.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, he's a very successful business person.
Business. What kind of business are they in?
I would say biotech, software.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm no longer interested.
Yeah.
Your specialty is fish.
That's what I like to cook best.
Do you do all the shopping?
I do.
Where's the best place to get fish in LA?
I mean, it really depends what you're looking for.
Shrimp cocktail.
Who doesn't like a shrimp cocktail?
I don't. That's just, you know, order a shrimp cocktail. That's disgusting. Everyone talks about like, oh, this is the perfect chef's kitchen. Well, what do you actually want? What's a great kitchen for you?
Have you seen John's kitchen?
John's house is there. I get lost. I can't imagine. The footprint of his house is so confusing to me. But no, every room I walk into, he's like, I just renovated this. I'm like, oh, it looks great. But then you go into that one room where the two little kids are in little cages next to each other. And that's kind of scary. Oh. Having twins, that is.
I had twin sisters.
Did you? Oh. Older or younger?
Older.
I guess that might be a little bit.
No, it was not cool.
No?
Because I was like...
A toy?
I was a toy for a while.
Oh, that's good. Do they enjoy your cooking?
Yeah, they do.
That's good.
No, everybody in my family enjoyed my cooking, that's for sure.
Do they force you to cook when you guys get together?
They don't force me, but I feel like, they're not always culinary inclined. I mean, they appreciate good thing. They don't have the skills sometimes. So I let them plan and then I help.
It's really funny how it's such a skill. Like you think, oh, you can read, so you should be able to cook, and the two don't go hand in hand. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't mean to simplify it to that level.
No, I get it.
It's like if you give me step-by-step instructions, I still will not make a meal that tastes anywhere the way it should.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what it is with my sisters. I mean, they appreciate great food. They want the good food. So you know what I do is I go shopping with them.
I still won't do it. I'd rather... The money is worth it. Grocery shopping alone is the worst thing ever.
It's the worst, even for me.
You know what I want? I would pay a fortune for someone, a service. I want somebody to invent this. I want someone to bring me four pieces of fruit every day to my house. Because all I do is throw fruit away.
Yeah.
Because it's no longer good.
Yep.
And I just want every day four pieces set on my doorstep. Somebody do that. They used to deliver milk. They used to put milk on people's doorstep. Why can't somebody put four pieces of fruit every day?
Isn't it crazy, the milk at the door?
Oh, that is pretty stupid.
I was like...
And apparently, all they were doing was banging the moms.
Wow.
No wonder it was a good gig. What about relationships with people? physical, sexual relationships.
When you spend 10, 12 hours close to people,
yes,
it gets pretty intense.
Sure.
You know?
Do you ever, while having sex, do you ever yell corner?
You're watching too much TV.
Do you watch The Bear?
Oh my God. This is the
this is the question everyone asks now.
This is the question everybody wants.
It's so intense. They all seem like they're on the verge of a breakdown.
My gosh.
It was accurate in some level.
The label of screaming and the level of disconnection between every character. Yeah, I mean, the first season, I have to say, I had PTSD. I was like, holy shit, I couldn't go to sleep.
Talk to me about cooking shows. Do you hate them? Do you like them? Do you find them entertaining? Do you watch them?
I mean, I do watch a few of them, but I haven't in a while.
I like the Great British Baking Show. I know that you prefer. I know you prefer the French version.
I do.
I'm not going to watch that, though.
It's interesting to watch in parallel. I don't know why, but there is some time. The British version, I'm very impressed. And sometime I'm like, come on, you shouldn't even put this on TV.
Well, I mean, it's a sweet show.
Right.
Just rarely is there a show where everyone's positive and nice to each other.
That's true.
And it's not about insulting. And then, for goodness sakes, the Paul Hollywood, he does a handshake, and that's the biggest deal in the world to people.
Right.
What about Guy Fieri? You ever met that guy?
I did.
Is it true that his hair is made from Cheese Whiz?
It probably is.
Why is Michelin, the tire company, in charge of telling us what the fanciest food in the world is?
Yeah, well, they've done it for like over 100 years.
Why? Why is the two things?
Because he never started for the general public. He started for their reps when they were going at the beginning of the 20th century, when they were going from town to town, try to sell tires. The guys would start making notes like, oh, next time you're in that region, stop there for lunch.
Well, who gives a shit what this dumb tire salesman thinks is good food?
I mean, yeah, before you're like a tire company, but now,
I mean, it still means something. Everyone still talks, oh, it's a Michelin star.
Because they're the oldest, most established one.
What about Zagat? Remember Zagat?
Oh, Zagat.
Oh, is it Zagat? I think woke culture canceled that.
No, I mean, it's my accent. No, Zagat. But yeah, I mean, Zagat was pretty good because you had a rating for the service, you had a rating for the ambiance, you know, the decor and all this, and you had a rating for the food. So by reading like the few little lines, you had the general consensus of what you were getting into, you know?
Right. Versus Yelp, where Yelp is just people complaining that they didn't get enough fucking eggs.
Oh, my chair was wobbling a little.
It's not a useful review. I look at Yelp and I'm like, if the reviews don't say like, oh, they refuse to serve Asian people, then I'd be like, I'm glad they wrote that.
Right.
I won't go there. But if you're going to complain that the meal was $5 overpriced, I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't want to read three paragraphs. Yet I do. I still read it.
And that's one thing. I never, ever read Yelp because it's just a waste of time.
I disagree with you on one thing, because then I can at least look at photos. If I can look at photos of the restaurant inside, I can get a feel. If I look how they printed their menu, if their menu looks disgusting, I can, you know, a bad font, I'm out.
But now you have so many ways of getting this. I mean, you have better pictures.
Right, whatever. It's easy. That's how I use it for some things. I'm just saying I still use it for something. Tell me some overrated restaurants here in LA.
Oh, I don't do that.
Okay, fine. I'm going to tell you some restaurants.
I don't do that because...
Fine. I'm going to tell you some restaurants that I eat at, and you tell me if it's overrated. Fine. Giorgio Baldi.
Okay. You had to eat this one first. Yeah, for me, it's a little overrated.
Okay. The sweet corn ravioli. That's very delicious.
Yeah.
How dare you, Remy? All right. Have you ate at FIA in Santa Monica? FIA.
Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful
restaurant. That's beautiful. That's date night.
Yeah.
My wife makes me take her on date night. Our rule is once a month, I have to take my wife on a date.
That's a good rule.
It's a dumb rule. Why? I'd rather not go out.
Man.
I know. If she didn't say you have to take me out once a month, I would never take her out, ever. I would be zero times, and I would fall more in love with her. What do you think, John and Vinny's?
John and Vinny's, the restaurant itself, I think overrated.
Remember when you said you weren't going to say if things were overrated? And then I say the restaurants and you immediately say that they're overrated?
Because I let you say the restaurants. I don't want to put the name on
them. That's fine. Fair. Felix in Venice.
Felix is good.
It's good.
Hard to get in, but.
Thank you. Let me tell you something about it. So I take my wife there occasionally to Felix. Sometimes I'll have my assistant make my reservation and they'll make two reservations.
Right. So what time you get in when you have your reservation?
Oh, I don't know, 5, 6, something like silly.
Of course.
But if it's something, I say you have to put it under my name. Not that it gives you anything, but at least it's my name. They'll give me a better table. But,
right.
But sometimes it gets put under her name and I lost my mind because then I had a garbage table in the back. That's my biggest complaint with restaurants. I understand it's the margin for profit is impossible. I understand that. I don't want to sit 2 inches away from somebody else. Now it's date night. I'm this far away from somebody. Yeah. Guess what, Remy? I'm not going to talk to my wife tonight because I don't want these people listening to me talk. So I just sit there.
Understood.
So charge me 3 times as much and fucking move the table 2 feet away.
And that's always my point. You know, if your business model is not sustainable to be, so how do you define fine dining, intimacy, the ambiance, but if you're so close to each other and you're charging high price, well, maybe there's something. Do you need the volume or you need this, you know? And that's, it's a small margin everywhere.
Yeah, what do you think of Nobu?
Nobu is a chain.
Ah, look at that.
Nobu's a chain.
That's a chain. Your final meal before you die.
Oh.
What are you having?
I haven't decided yet. I'm not ready to die yet.
No, good. I'm thinking I'm going to have a big burrito just because I want to make a mess.
Yeah. I never heard that.
What about chili? Do you ever make chili?
Yeah, I do.
I love chili.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling you out for things I like. You ever make a brookie?
I have.
You've made a brookie?
I have made a brookie.
That's the stupidest thing.
I know. I still don't get it.
What are you talking about? You don't get it. It's a brownie and a cookie. It's a brookie.
Yeah.
Do you ever make a Queen Amman?
Queen Amman, yeah.
Are they difficult?
They're tricky. I mean, I wouldn't say difficult, but yeah, just a lot of sugar and butter.
I know. I eat one once a week.
Okay.
At the farmer's market. I go to the farmer's market and there's a pastry person there and I get a Queen Amman and I'm like,
you're good for the weekend.
No, just for that day.
You get sugar.
I come from a line of sweet tooths.
Okay.
My grandfather was a baker.
All right.
I had a bakery, had a couple bakeries and my dad bakes and I've always enjoyed baking and I've always just, every meal I have, I can eat a dessert. No matter how amazing a restaurant is, if their dessert menu doesn't appeal to me, rarely am I interested in going.
Really?
I need to know that the dessert is going to be delicious as well.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, it makes sense. You know, this is how you hand the meal.
Yeah.
In a restaurant especially, I feel for me, the last thing, either the little petit four or the mignardise or the dessert, that you're right, is that's what's going to set it up. Because if you put all that effort to do the beginning and then you end up on a whoop note, it just kills it.
Every Asian restaurant, horrible desserts.
I know. What's up with that?
That's too funny. All right. Tell me about your famous cannelé.
What about the cannelé?
First of all, what the fuck is a cannelé?
What the fuck is a cannelé? It's nothing. It's kind of like a couillonnan of Bordeaux. You know, it's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a texture thing, so the outside is really crunchy. The inside is kind of gooey.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like it since don't like crunchy stuff.
I can hand. No, I just don't like a crunchy cookie.
But the center is kind of like soft and gooey, and the external is, you know, very crunchy.
And how did you perfect it?
By trial and errors.
You're very protective. You won't let anybody know how you actually make them, correct?
Well, I will tell them how to make them, but it takes a little more than that to do that because it's really a game of patience. And really, I mean, I did some today.
Okay.
So you're going to try.
Oh, wow. Do I have anything? I use my, look at this presentation.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
Is that the best cookie in there?
All right, it looks good to me. That's fine. No. How dare you? It's beautiful. It's a beautiful cookie. My wife, she's always like, whenever she makes chocolate, I make chocolate chip cookies for her, she doesn't want a lot of chocolate in it. And I'm like, what?
Is it a lot of chocolate?
I know. I'm excited about it.
I think in the recipe, there's more chocolate than flour.
Oh, really? Nah, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Oh, that's good stuff. Yeah, that's good stuff. You know what grosses me out the most about food shows is watching people eat.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing. Yeah, of course. What an amazing cookie. This is the best cookie I've ever had in my life. That's a crazy thing to ask. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'd pay $5 for this, for one cookie.
That's fair.
At a farmer's market.
That's fair.
That's a good price. Do you ever sell your cookies?
No. Oh. I know. That's stupid of me.
All right. Now this. How are you supposed to eat this? Are you just supposed to bite it?
Yeah.
Anything fancy? What do I need to know about this?
It's very crunchy outside.
And it's going to be like pudding in the inside, yeah, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to spill?
No.
No. Do I need to cleanse my palate before with some water?
If you like to.
I don't know.
I mean... Yeah, you don't want your tongue to be coated in chocolate before you do that.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm about to taste at all. What if I don't like it?
You don't have to finish it.
Mm.
Oh, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the smile.
I like it. I love it. Here's the thing. I could eat nothing but dessert until I die.
Yeah.
And just, like, see, I know my life wouldn't be long.
But it'd be nice.
Oh, it'd be nice. Yeah, that's really good. That's really neat. Well, you've got it. Listen, thank you very much. This is exciting. Chef Remy, this is the way to my heart. A chocolate chip cookie. I appreciate everything. Thanks.
Thanks, Danielle.
Okay. That was four. Family. Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Oh, I love that one. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
That was a great interview. I want to thank Remy. He's an amazing chef. Had him over at my house recently. He kicked your water bowl over. That made you very mad. He doesn't drop a lot of food either. That also upset you, Carl. My dog Carl's with me as always. Remy also burnt a batch of chocolate chip cookies at my house. Now, he blamed it on, he's like, oh, your convection bake runs really hot. Man, I don't think it runs true. But anyway, he did it in the second batch. It was amazing. He also did some other fancier desserts, which the foreigners at the party loved. And the Americans were like, oh, could you put a little more sugar in this? But no, it was wonderful. Boyswearpink.com. Check that out. The GOAT, the new reality competition show that I'm hosting, comes out on Amazon sometime. Hey, Amazon, why don't you tell me when the show is going to be on that we shot over a year ago? The process for this show is maddening. I'll be performing here in Los Angeles at the Dolby May 4th for the Netflix Comedy Festival. That's going to be exciting. And before we go, we got another bedtime story for my son when he was 3 years old. Hope you like this one. See you next week.
One upon a time, there were two animals. They were a sea otter and a sea lion. But they didn't know how to swim, so they got on a sailboat. Then they waddled sea, and then they twitted because they were both not happy. Because they were mean animals in the ocean. They were in Florida ocean. Then they saw alligators. But then they went to Malibu and swimmed in the ocean in Malibu. And it was just poaching. But they saw a sea rat and it ate them. The end. But.
You can't say the end and then but. That story was crazy. I liked it,
that
though.
That story was interesting.
I liked it. That was a good story. Thank you for that one.
Okay.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun. Oh, I love that one. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new. And it's streaming now on Hulu.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.